Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
Well, we are on week two of our Christmas series called The Ghosts of Christmas Past, and we're talking about some of those painful things that can often emerge during this time of the year. And last week, we talked about overcoming offense. When offense comes, that we're not easily offended, or if there's big offenses, that we forgive those. And I know this week, God has given me opportunity to be easily offended. How many found that this week? And you know what? I can say, thank you, God. He's really helped me not to be as easily offended as I probably normally would be. And it's something that we just want to overcome in our lives, overcome offense, to overlook it, to pass above it. It's to our glory. Next week, we're going to be talking about labels, labels that define us and hold us back from really experiencing all that God has for us in our lives. And today, on part two, we're going to talk about a deep, painful emotion that I think has a lot of people in bondage that they don't even realize. It's the emotion of shame. I didn't realize that I was living in shame until I heard a message about shame. And it was like, just like, as I heard about it, it was like my eyes opened up and I was like, wow, that's my life. That's me. I didn't even realize that. And shame, in your notes this morning, it says, is a soul-crushing, identity-warping emotion. Shame encompasses the entire self. That's what shame is. It encompasses the entire self. It changes your whole identity of how you see yourself. And I want you to know right up front today, at least the first part, is going to be a little heavy.
Say heavy.
Okay, it's going to be a little heavy this morning. But my prayer is that out of this, many people will experience freedom, experience victory, and just be set free from the bondage of shame that you might be living in. Shame can be caused by a single event. It can be caused by a single event, but most often it is a pervasive happening. There are several small events that take place over the course of our life, and those small events build up and they create shame. A lot of times it happens when we're very young, and this sense of shame comes in childhood. Sometimes it's from the things that we do. Yeah, there's a boy, he's from a poor family, and he goes to a friend's house, and they're playing, and all of a sudden you hear the ice cream man. You hear the chimes in the street. And the boy says to the poor boy, he says, let's get some ice cream. And the poor boy doesn't have any money. And he doesn't know what to say, doesn't know what to do. But in the richer kid's house, the parents have this big bowl of change on the countertop that you can just go and grab it whenever you want. And the poor boy, he knows that. He sees the change and he thinks, okay, let's get ice cream. And he takes a handful of change and he shoves it in his pocket. It's just bulging in his pocket. And he's walking out. And the richer boy's mother sees him and says, what's in your pocket? And catches him and says, shame on you for stealing. What a bad boy you are. It can be an incident like that that causes shame. Perhaps you're a six-year-old little boy or little girl, and you wet the bed, and your father comes in and gives a real disapproving look, but then that's not enough. He goes out and he grabs your brothers and sisters and brings them in and shows everyone what you've done, and you're shamed. Or maybe when you're a four-year-old kid, you spill some milk, and your parents, instead of saying, hey, you know, don't worry about it, it's an accident. None of us are perfect. We all make messes sometime. Let's clean it up together and next time try to be more careful. Instead, you clumsy oaf, why don't you look out what you're doing? You're always making a mess. You're always just so, and you're just shamed for what you have done. Sometimes it's not what we do, But sometimes shame comes from other people, what other people do and say to us. For example, your father may be the town drunk, and you live with that shame. Maybe you have a loud, overprotective, smothering mom who just embarrasses you and everyone in town. Well, you're a mama's boy. Or maybe you experience shame in all of your efforts, all of your accomplishments, all of your achievements are belittled. For an example, a kid plays a fantastic football game or baseball game, but when he comes home or even right after the game out in the field, his father pulls him aside, and instead of there being, "Great job, son, I'm proud of you, you scored 3 touchdowns," it's like, "You know, you missed that wide open receiver that was right there. You could have done this better. You could have done that." And just begins to pick apart the performance and can't find anything good about it. Or maybe it comes in the fact that other students are jealous of a smart child, and that child, that they say, "Well, you don't get your good grades. Your daddy does your homework for you. Your mama does your homework." And so your achievements and your accomplishments are belittled and they're put down. There are several things that can cause shame. Shame can arise out of abuse, out of physical abuse, sexual abuse, verbal abuse. Shame can arise out of neglect, maybe a sense that there's not sufficient parental availability. Your parents aren't there. Maybe you've had abandonment. A parent left you when you were young, and then the single parent is working a lot, and you just don't have access. Or maybe you've got a mom or a dad who was a workaholic, and they're never there. Never took you shopping, never played ball, never had time for fun. And it was just a sense that you don't even realize it, but I'm not worth spending time with. I'm not worth anything. All of these different factors in our lives can cause shame. In your notes this morning, there's this distinct difference between guilt and shame, and this is something that we need to realize. Guilt is the feeling, I did bad. I did something wrong. I messed up. I did bad. But shame is the idea that I am bad. I am a bad person. I'm an unlovable person. I'm no good. And what happens is we connect what we do with who we are. That's what shame does. It connects the action or something, an action done to us or that we do, and we connect it with our identity, and it warps us so that we have a false perception of who we are. There may be those of you here today, you're carrying some kind of a secret. You have a secret addiction, and it's like, man, if people knew what I was doing, I would be so embarrassed. They wouldn't let me serve on the greeter team at the front door. They wouldn't even let me in the front door of the church if they knew that. Or maybe some of you, that there's a secret. Maybe you've told a lie about someone, and you've just let that lie grow, and you're harboring that. But that's just building up inside of you. You think, man, I'm such a horrible person for doing that. Maybe you're looking at something that you shouldn't be looking at. You're a follower of Jesus. You're looking at things on the internet or renting stuff that you shouldn't be watching. And you've got this problem with lust. And you think, man, if people knew, and you just live under this cloud of shame. Or maybe it's your past. Maybe you have a sexual past or something that's happened. It's like, man, if people knew who I was, what I've done, they wouldn't accept me. There are so many things that can cause shame in your life. And friends, this is my prayer today. My prayer is that if you are living in shame, if you're in the chains of shame, that God breaks those chains today and he sets you free. That he liberates you and you realize you are not who you think you are. You're not who you think you are. So you say, Craig, what does shame look like? I'm going to give you a bunch of words. If you say these things about yourself, you may be living in shame. You might say, I'm defective. I'm damaged. I'm broken. I'm flawed. I'm dirty. I'm ugly. I'm impure. I'm disgusting. I'm unlovable. I'm weak. I'm pitiful. I'm insignificant. I'm worthless. I'm a failure. I'm a loser. I'm unwanted. I told you it was going to be a little heavy, huh? But friends, Jesus can break every chain, even the chains of shame. You know how I know that? Because God defies the odds, right? That's our theme. God defies the odds for 2018. God wants to do a freeing work in your life today. And here's the thing, when our identity has been shaped by shame, then what it happens is it causes us to live with shame-based thinking. And there's three aspects. We have them in your notes this morning. This is, helps you identify if you're living in shame. This was powerful. This was important to me that really pointed out that I was living in shame. Number one, we're vulnerable to perfectionism. We're vulnerable to perfectionism. We attempt to silence shame with an error-free performance. We try to do everything perfectly, not get anything wrong, not do anything right, and it's an attempt to say, look, I accomplished it, I achieved it, I did well. Or sometimes it's a hard time admitting that we've done wrong, and we want to silence shame because we don't admit wrong, and so we might come across to others as just being, just this high overachiever type personality, but that's one way that we can, that signifies we may be living in shame. Secondly, we're critical of ourselves, and that makes us critical of others. We're critical of ourselves because we see all these flaws, and then when we see our flaws mirrored in other people, it just sets us off in our kids and coworkers and brothers and sisters in Christ. And when we see our flaws, it sets us off. And sometimes when if we are judgmental, other people are seeing us as being arrogant, as being self-righteous, as being judgmental and all these things, not realizing that we're struggling with those same things ourselves. And then the third aspect of shame-based thinking is we use self-defeating thoughts as a form of protection and escape. We use self-defeating thoughts as a form of protection and escape. We focus on the worst possible outcome, and we say, this bad thing's going to happen, and they're never going to like me. And what we do is we sabotage relationships. We sabotage opportunities. We maybe don't attempt things. Or if we do, we even shoot ourselves in the foot so they fail. Because it's just a way to protect us from further hurt and a sense of failure. And so we don't even attempt anything because of that. That's why Christmas can be so crazy. We go home for Christmas dinner, and your mom lashes out at you for no reason at all, and you're going, man, where'd that come from? And maybe your mom is dealing with some identity-warping shame in her life. Or maybe your dad goes off and gets drunk and then just withdraws, and it's like, yeah, there he goes again. That's what he does. That's just how dad copes with everything. He's living in this deep sense of shame. Or maybe your in-laws pick at you about the way you raise your kids, and you say, why do they do this? And maybe it's because there's some sense of deep inadequacy in them, things they didn't accomplish, they didn't achieve, and they maybe see some of that in you, and so they really pick it apart at you. Or maybe you're the one that you're hypercritical of yourself, and at Christmas when you're around family, you see other people that have the same things you do, and it just sets you off onto them. Today, my prayer is that God does a healing work at you, and we're going to take a look at one verse in the Bible, one verse in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 4. I would like you to turn there this morning. This is a powerful verse when it comes to dealing with shame, and God was speaking to Israel, and I believe it's God's will that he wants you and I to hear him speak to us these words this morning. Isaiah 54, verse 4, reading out of the New Living Translation. Fear not, you will no longer live in shame. Don't be afraid. There is no more disgrace for you. You will no longer remember the shame of your youth. I want to read that again, and this time I want you to internalize this, okay? I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to imagine God speaking this to you, okay? You ready? Here's what the Lord says. Fear not. You will no longer live in shame. Do not be afraid. There's no more disgrace for you. You will no longer remember the shame of your youth. You won't remember it. It's not going to be a part of you. It's not going to land on you anymore. You can look at me now. You say, Craig, how does that happen? How does that take place? Here's how it happens. As a follower of Jesus Christ, if you've given your life to Christ, confessed your sin, and surrendered your life to Him, it takes place in the promise that's in 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here's the good news. If you're a Christian, you're a new creation, and God has washed you from all of your sin. He has removed it as far as the east is to the west. You know what that means? It means it can't be found. Because if you hopped on a plane at Natrona County Airport and you took off west, and you says, I want to find the place where west meets east, and you head west, you go to California, what direction are you going? West. You get to Japan, what direction are you going? Come on, help me here. West. You get to India, what direction? You get to Europe, what direction? You come back to the East Coast, what direction? You get to Casper, what direction are you going? West, you don't meet it. Now if you get on the same plane and you head north and you go up to the North Pole and you come to Montana, what direction are you going? North. How about you get to Canada? You get to Santa Claus house, the North Pole, what direction? And now you start to go back down the backside, what direction are you heading? South? North and south meet. If God removed your sins as far as the north is was from the south, you could go find your sin. Santa has them, huh? Santa has a boatload of sin up there. Yeah, we knew that. But God says, no, I have removed your sin as far as the east is from the west. In other words, it can't be found. You've been cleansed. There is no shame. I will remove it for you. If anyone calls in the name of the Lord, he will be saved. He's faithful. That means all the time, every single time, He's faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from 50% of our unrighteousness. Just from the minor stuff, not the major stuff. No, from all, no matter how big or how much, He cleanses us from all of our sin. I want to explain how shame works from a story in the Bible, and then I want to share how shame has worked out in my life, and then I want to close with just a final scripture. In Israel, back in, if you look at the history of Israel, Israel were slaves for 430 years. They were in bondage that time. And so I want you to imagine this morning that your family and your family's family, all of your ancestors, everybody you know, you've been slaves for 430 years. You're a slave. Your father is a slave. Your grandpa is a slave. Your great-grandfather before him was a slave, and on. All you've ever known is slavery. Month after month, year after year, decade after decade, even century after century, you're a slave. And what that does to you is, I'm worthless, I have no value, I'm just a cog in the wheel, I'm just a slave, that's all I am, that's who I am. And Israel were slaves, and they had this slave mindset in them. And when God calls Moses and says, Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. And God gave Moses favor, and eventually Pharaoh let the people go, so they're free. They're no longer slaves, but you know what? While they were free in person, they were not free in heart. Even though they were out of slavery, slavery was not out of them. You could say they were out of Egypt, but Egypt was still in them. And they still saw themselves as being these slaves who have no value, who were under a hard taskmaster. Because when God has them out in the wilderness and he's leading them and guiding them and something bad happens, what do they think about their heavenly Father God who loves them? You hate us. You brought us out here to die. You don't care about us. You are just punishing us. You're even more cruel. You want it to be mean. Let our kids starve. Let us starve. You don't care. And they have this slave mindset because it's warped their identity. What's happened to them? Well, all the pain, all the experiences, it shaped their identity. And they're not beloved children of God that he's leading to a promised land to give them victory and hope and freedom. No, God hates them, and it's warped who they are. And God needed to change their mindset. And this is the problem that we have in our lives. We may know intellectually that I'm free, that I'm forgiven, that I'm a child of God. But that's not how we feel. That's not how we really see ourselves. And so we live in this shame. Here's the bottom line. You can jot this down. This is the problem with shame. You're still believing that you are something that God says you're not. That's the problem. You're still believing you're something that God says you're not. You're still believing. And you have this shame-based identity, and it's warped how you see yourself. I want to share just how shame has worked in my life, and I'm going to try to be as transparent as I can. And just the thing is, God has had me on a journey for several years, and in the past several years, I've made a lot of progress in overcoming shame, but it's something that I've had ever since I was a kid. And I'm not going to get into details just for all the people that have been involved, but a lot of the examples that I shared up front of the different things that cause shame, that's me. Not all of them, but a lot of them are me. And on top of that, I grew up in an environment where I felt that even as a young child, I had to fix things. I had to make things right. I had to take the responsibility as being the firstborn in the house and just some other things. It was like I had to fix this. And when an 8-year-old can't fix it, then it makes you feel like you're not enough, you're not good enough. And all the experiences in my life, this is the shame-based mindset that I have had to overcome. Is that I'm not good enough. I'm not enough. I've got to do more. I've got to be perfect. I've got to excel for me to be a person of worth. That's been the shame-based mindset. And as a result, when I was growing up, I had to get straight A's, even in grade school. If I got a B, it was like I was mortified. It's like, man. And I had to participate in all these different activities and be the best in them. So I went out for choir and show choir and boys group and small group. I went out for band and for concert band and jazz band and brass ensemble. And I went out for football and basketball and golf and all these different things and declam and debate. And I had to excel. And the activities that I that weren't the best for me, I dropped them so I could devote myself to the other activities and go for gusto and make all-state choir and state debate champ and state extemporaneous champ. And starting center and defensive end on the football team. And just doing all these things to excel and try to overcome this sense that I'm not enough, that I'm not good enough, and I've got to do more. And when I became an adult and got married and started pastoring and later had kids, that's where it really causes trouble. Because now I've got to have the perfect family. And now my ministry has to be perfect, and my church has to be perfect, and everything has to be perfect, and I have to excel, and I have to work harder and do more, leading to be a workaholic, and I'm very overly critical of myself. And so when I see those flaws in my kids, it's just easy to point that out and rip them apart. And that's how shame has worked in my life. But this is something that I've had to realize, and it's in your notes. This is where the change comes. This is how you overcome shame in your life, and this is a solution to it. Because of Christ, and here's the thing, there's some blanks here in your notes. And my prayer is that as we're talking today, there's no blank that I'm going to give you to fill in. This is where you have to do the work. What is it that God is speaking to you about shame? Because of Christ, I am not, and what do you put in there? And because of Christ, I am what? I am blank. You fill it out. Let me give you some ideas. You might say, because of Christ, I'm not bad. Maybe you feel you're a bad person. You're horrible. But because of Christ, I'm not bad. Because of Christ, I'm forgiven. Or maybe it's because of Christ, I'm not broken. Because of Christ, I'm a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Because of Christ, I'm not disgusting. I'm loved. Because of Christ, I'm not impure and filthy. Because of Christ, I am pure and whole. I would say it this way, because of Christ, I'm not just inadequate. Because of Jesus in me, I am complete. I am more than enough. And here's the thing. We have to realize that all of us are inadequate. You and I can never do enough to be what God wants us to be. We have to come to a place in our lives where we say, God, I need your help. I need your help to be what you want me to be. I need your help to overcome shame in my life. And when we come to that place where, Jesus, I need your help. And so this morning, what is it? What is the shame that you've been carrying? What is that you, that identity that God says you're not this? You still see yourself as it. What is that identity God would point out to you? What do you need to put in that blank? I'm not a loser. I'm not a failure. I'm not ugly. I'm not broken. I'm not an emotional cripple. What is it God wants you to put there? And because of Jesus, what are you? What are you? The only way to heal from shame is to move the focus from what I'm not to who Christ is. And here's the verse that I want to close with this morning. It's Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now. Notice God said now. Not tomorrow. Not after 3 years of counseling. But he says there is therefore now no condemnation. Now there's no shame. Now there is no shame because our God, because of his presence, because of his power, because of his grace in our lives, now there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And here's the thing. It is so easy. This is not... Sometimes we think a situation like this is like having a cold, where you pop a few pills or you've got an infection and you take antibiotic for a week and boom, I'm done. I'm good. If only it was that easy. But here's the thing. It's your identity. It's more like, how many have ever lost weight before? And then over time, you stopped eating healthy. And the level of activity you had, you went back to your level of inactivity and you put the weight back on. It has to be a continued process, right? You just can't change it for a month or two. This has to be a continuous process in your life. Friends, this is the same thing. It says there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I have to keep walking in the Spirit. I have to keep walking in who Jesus says I am. There is a renewal. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that word renewing means a continual process. So this identity has to be a continual process that I constantly do. When I'm healthy, I am overcoming shame. But when I'm unhealthy, I slip back into shame. And so this is a constant process where I'm walking in the Spirit of God. I'm walking in who Jesus says I am. I'm walking in the identity that God gave to me through the cross of Jesus Christ. There's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. There's no more shame. Let's look at Isaiah 54 again. Fear not. Fear not. Some of you this morning, the enemy has a sense of fear in your life that I'm not good enough, that I can't overcome. I will never get beyond this. I will never feel worthy, whatever it is, and that you live in fear. If people find out what I'm really like, they're going to reject me. If they only know, and you've got this sense of fear that's in bondage, or I've done something that's so horrible, God can't forgive me. You have this fear, and it's got you in chains. You're imprisoned in it. But it says, fear not, because of God's power, because of God's grace, because of God's presence, you will no longer live in shame. Don't be afraid, for there's no more disgrace for you. You will no longer remember the shame of your youth. Friends, you are not what you did in the past. You are not what someone did to you in the past. You are not what someone said about you in the past. You are not who you think you are or who they say you are. You are a new creation. And if you've confessed your sins, He's faithful, just, and has forgiven you, and He's removed them and all the unrighteousness. Now, there is no shame. Now, there is no condemnation. You can be free today. You can be free this morning.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.